Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
It is a football Friday, but the Steelers are on a bye. We will still talk about them because things are looking pretty good as they enter that week five bye week. Pittsburgh is 3-1, and is the rest of the AFC North falling behind? Are we buying into what the Steelers are doing, or are they just getting luckier than good? We will get to some quarter season awards as well on your Pittsburgh Steelers. We are technically, also technically not, at the quarter season point of the NFL season. A pretty good one last night in L.A. We can react a little bit to that. Usuals on Friday, Ray Fittipaldo at 11, Nick Costos at noon, a Bechtold breakdown at 12:30. We will get into a little bit of baseball. Even though it is a football Friday, we will dive into the MLB postseason and also some comments made yesterday about a Pirates fan favorite. Will he be back in 2026? Stephen Thompson will join us at 11:30. He writes about the Pitt Panthers for the Post-Gazette. We'll get into a little college football minute there as well. Your call is always welcome at 412-928-9370. It is Donnie Football with you on a Football Friday. Pomp, as usual, he's not a Friday guy on this show. And our dear friend Joe Starkey is still with family up in Buffalo going into this weekend, so our thoughts are with him. And our guy Austin Bechtold is back behind the glass in Green Tree, the man we call City Limits. I am live from Bowser Chevy Studio B in Monroeville. If you were following along on our YouTube page, I know our chat is always popping off on there. Hopefully at some point they get the camera on for the Studio B side of things, and you can then continue to watch and see me. I would be waving up to you at the camera if it is on right now. I do want to start by talking about the Steelers going into the bye week, as this is Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Gave a little rundown there of what is coming up today. Pittsburgh at 3-1, and the big topic about the Steelers this week is, are they the team to beat in the AFC North? Are the other teams falling behind, and are they falling behind too far to catch them? Are the Steelers a contender, or are they a pretender in the AFC, in the entire NFL? Are we buying into what is happening through the first 4 weeks of the regular season? I know not all of these games have been satisfactory, even though the Steelers have gone to a 3-win-1-loss mark through the first 4 weeks. However, that's all that matters. That record is what matters. It doesn't always matter how pretty or ugly the wins are, how complete of a game it is, or if the coach messes up the final few minutes of the game and still wins. I thought one of the big points earlier this week that Andrew and Chris got into in the afternoon Chris didn't think that Mike Tomlin had a well-coached game on Sunday because they almost lost. And some of the decisions that Mike Tomlin made in the final few moments would have been a contributing factor. And he said that he would feel better if he was more aggressive and they still lost the game. I have to disagree. They won the game, and I thought for about 55 minutes, the Steelers dominated in every facet, including the coaching. Mike Tomlin's defense was better than Kevin O'Connell, the offensive guru. It was better than his offense. I don't care that Carson Wentz was starting the game. I think the quarterbacks in Minnesota are honestly on a pretty similar level. J.J. McCarthy has made a couple of starts. I'm not going to act like that kid is some sort of superstar. And then the Brian Flores defense, who many of us, myself included, thought would give these Steelers fits all day. Now, Arthur Smith was ready for that. He ran it right down Brian Flores' throat for 3 hours with Kenneth Gainwell as the starting running back. Jaylen Warren was out, and the Steelers had their best game on offense, the offensive line by far with its best game. And we saw an example last night of coaches that got aggressive and then ended up losing the game. Sean McVay, who I think is one of the best coaches in the league. Do you feel better about that game if you're LA because your coach got aggressive in a key spot? I don't. We just lost. And they lost to a very shorthanded team at that. I know that I have been critical of the Steelers after a win. I did as much after they beat New England. It just did not feel like it hit a satisfaction level with me because they, even though forced five turnovers in the game, it just did not feel like a game that I came out of thinking, man, they looked really good and they got that win. But you do have to realize all that matters is if you have the win and not the loss in the end. Is it better to be lucky or good? I think it's best to be a little bit of both. And that's what the Steelers are. I think they are a pretty good football team. And you can disagree with that, and you can chime in at 412-928-9370. You can hop on that fan hotline, which is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. They are also a lucky team. They have gotten injury luck elsewhere in the league. Now, the Steelers have their share of injuries, there's no doubt. Jaylen Warren missed the last game. That didn't matter. Joey Porter Jr. hasn't played since week one. That hasn't really mattered. They have lost some players over the course of these first couple of games. Alex Highsmith hasn't played, but Nick Herbig has stepped in, and he has arguably been the Steelers' best defensive player. Now, does he get the attention that a T.J. Watt would get coming off the edge? No, but I don't think he's far away from that because that dude is the real deal. And we will hand out, Austin and I, our Steelers quarter season awards in just a little bit here. But look at the rest of the AFC North. Before we look at the rest of the AFC and even dive into the NFC and talk about if the Steelers belong, are they a contender in this league through the first quarter of the season? Or is this all for show? And I know it might be hard to remember what happened at the end of last season and think, man, a lot of us were feeling really good about where the Steelers were at. They were 10-3. They were coming off wins against teams like the Ravens and the Commanders in back-to-back weeks, and those teams were at mostly full strength. Lamar Jackson played. They beat him. They shut him down. Jaden Daniels, the runaway rookie of the year, he played. The Steelers went into their house, and they won the game. Really the high point of the season. That touchdown pass from Russell Wilson to Mike Williams, neither of which with the team now in 2025. But then you saw how they finished down the stretch. So I understand why you might be a little bit hesitant on what this team this year can do, although I do think it's a little bit different. I mean, think about just the personnel alone, how many different pieces they have in this offense and on this team. Najee Harris gone. Jaylen Warren now the starting running back. He and Kenneth Gainwell will likely start working into a pretty close to 50-50 split after Gainwell looked great against Minnesota. George Pickens out. DK Metcalf in. They add Jonnu Smith to the offense. Aaron Rodgers in. Russell Wilson out. Justin Fields out. A lot different. Dan Moore out. Broderick Jones finally moving to left tackle. Still going through some growing pains, but there are a lot of differences in this offense, and maybe it's a different attitude that is brought to the table, and maybe it's a little bit of different leadership brought to the table by Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, kind of a PR robot. Aaron Rodgers, not the case. And so far, so good. We heard a lot of horror stories about Aaron Rodgers, and he has been the opposite of that. I think he's been a very good leader through the first 4 weeks. But look at the rest of the AFC North and how that's breaking down. The Cleveland Browns have made a change at quarterback. Joe Flacco is out. Dylan Gabriel in. He will make his first start in London on Sunday against the same Vikings that the Steelers just beat. Then they come to Pittsburgh. I would have been, no joke, way more worried about that game if Joe Flacco started, because Flacco has played the Steelers more than any other quarterback in the league. He is, at this point, I mean, he has long been a pretty unflappable player. I don't think he's worried about any sort of crowd at Acrisure Stadium that would get into his head. He has won plenty of games inside that venue. He has beaten the Steelers plenty of times in his home venue, wherever that may be. And he's also the type of quarterback that does damage against Pittsburgh if they can't get home on him. But barring injury to Dylan Gabriel in this first start, it's going to be the rookie. The left-handed rookie from Oregon via Oklahoma. That's what they'll get in their next game next Sunday. Look at the other two teams. Joe Burrow goes down with an injury. Their season is over. He's not coming back until mid-December, and unless that team makes a trade fast, they're hopeless. Jake Browning is not going to find that lightning in a bottle that he found a couple of years ago, where he actually won them a couple of games. He kept them afloat. And they thought, hey, you know what? We can survive a little bit without Joe Burrow. Yeah, that's not happening. They've been outscored 76-13 in their last two games. 48-10 loss against the Vikings. 28-3 loss on Monday Night Football against the Broncos. And it wasn't even like the Broncos looked phenomenal to me. The Bengals just looked that bad. They looked lifeless in that game. Now, make no mistake, I think the Steelers go there in just under 2 weeks from now, and I think that will be a more difficult game than it should be. Just, it's natural. We see what happens when they go on the road in division on Thursday Night Football. Mike Tomlin's record, not very good in that spot, and I think that is not a trap, but that game will be more of a dogfight than it really should be. And the Ravens, they have lost Lamar Jackson for at least one game, possibly two. Now, I think people are putting them in the grave a little bit early. That defense is horrible. It is way worse than a lot of people expected. They have a lot of injuries on that side of the ball. They have some guys, some key players that are out for the season, and some that are out for several weeks. The Ravens have two games coming up at home, Texans, Rams. They probably have to find a way to win one of those two games with Cooper Rush at QB to stay afloat. I happen to think they will take one of two games, and we just saw the Rams lose to a very shorthanded team last night. That was an 8.5-point underdog. So it's a weird league, man. You want to take the wins where you can get it. But Sports Illustrated, they put out a list of teams the other night asking if they were contenders or pretenders. It's something you see every year, and they listed the Steelers as a pretender so far. And I think a lot of that had to do with how the last few seasons have ended. Hey, the Steelers have started off looking pretty good, and then look how they fall flat. They back their way into the playoffs. They get crushed. We can't buy into them. Kind of hard to argue that. But I do think they are a better team than what they're getting credit for. I'm not ready to crown them as the AFC North champions yet, because I do think the Ravens could possibly run the table if Lamar Jackson gets back healthy after the bye week. If they get by with a win either against the Texans or the Rams, there is an opportunity that they win every other game on their schedule. Now, that's really hard to do. I get it. To win like 10 games in a row. But I think they could go 8-2 or 9-1, and that still puts a lot of pressure on the Steelers to be really good where their schedule gets more difficult. The Ravens gets a little bit easier. The Ravens' three losses are not against some scrub teams. Now, they blew that big lead against the Bills on night one. They beat the Browns. Now, that game was closer than what the score indicated, and Derrick Henry got held to just 23 yards. They lost to the Lions. They lost to the Chiefs. So they have lost to three teams that are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I don't think there's any question that those teams are contenders. But it's hard for me to count them out right now. I can't deny that things look good for the Steelers. I still think they win 11 games. I think they are an 11-6 team. They are 3-1 going into the bye. That's what I thought they would be. You just flip-flop the first two games' outcomes for me, and that's where we are. But I'd be lying if I didn't think it was a pretty ideal start for the Steelers the first 4 weeks of the season, given how their season has gone and given how the season has begun for the other teams in the AFC North. But just look around the AFC. Some of these teams, and some of these teams around the league too, not even just the AFC, there are still a couple of undefeated teams, but nobody seems perfect to me, even though the record might show that. Like the Bills, they're 4-0. But they haven't looked dominant to me. They had that miraculous comeback against the Ravens where 99% of the time you're going to start 0-1. Then they did beat up on the Jets. They made Justin Fields look like the worst quarterback in football. But then the last two games, they've gotten them both at home. They have played the Dolphins and the Saints. And those games were oddly close. The Dolphins were a roughing the punter penalty away from getting the football back and possibly winning the game. And the Saints, late in the second half, Spencer Rattler thought he had a touchdown pass. It was dropped in the end zone. That would have given the Saints the lead. They were 15.5 point underdogs in that game. Buffalo still won. But they look like a team that's a bit vulnerable. They are Josh Allen and James Cook, and not much after that. The Chiefs, they're 2-2, but you can't count these guys out. Never. It is spooky season. It's October. You pick any Halloween villain you want, Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, whoever. That's who the Chiefs are. Even when you think they're dead and buried, that hand comes up through the ground. The Chargers, they looked hot to start the season. I know my guy Austin likes Justin Herbert a whole lot. I have him on my fantasy team. He's had a good start to the year. They just lost to the Giants and Jackson Dart. The Broncos, we're waiting on Bo Nix to come alive a little bit. Their two wins came against the Titans and the Bengals. The Ravens, Jackson is hurt. Defense looks awful. They could end up losing these next two games. There's a real chance they start 1-5. Cincinnati, season is over. Burrow out until mid-December. Their defense still sucks. The Texans, That offense looks broken. C.J. Stroud looks a lot more like his second year than his first year. They have one win against the Titans. Buccaneers, 3-1. I love Baker Mayfield. I love watching that guy play. Their three wins have come on the last play of the game. They could very well be 0-4. The Packers, they looked like the best team in football through the first 2 weeks. A loss to the Browns and a tie against the Cowboys in which they gave up 40. They don't look as dominant just a couple of weeks later. Brock Purdy, he might get benched in San Francisco. I don't know if that's a real discussion out there, but Mac Jones might be this year's version of Sam Darnold. The dude is 3-0. He looked great last night. He had a gritty performance. He was getting knocked around at times. They thought he was going to have to come out of the game. He is 3-0. That team is 4-1. The Rams, a lot of people high on them. That offense is a lot of fun to watch. Matt Stafford, he can still sling it. Puka Nacua, Devontae Adams. They just lost to a team at home in which they were favorites by 8.5 points. The 49ers didn't have their top three receivers. On offense, they basically had Mac Jones and Christian McCaffrey. You know who the leading receiver was? Kendrick Bourne. The Rams just lost to that team. The Commanders, they don't look as good. I know Jaden Daniels is hurt, but their defense also seems to have some issues. The Eagles are also 4-0 to bookend this thing a little bit. I still think they're the best team in football, but they don't always show it. A few close calls already. The offense is not always on point. A.J. Brown is upset. He sends a cryptic tweet pretty much once a week. So the point here is that, yeah, the Steelers aren't perfect. They have not had the perfect start to the season. They had a game that was way too close for comfort in New York. They won it. Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdowns in his debut. They lost by 2 touchdowns at home to the Seahawks, who I think might just be a pretty good football team. Now, a 2-touchdown loss at home is not always, is not good at any time, no matter who it is, but I don't think the Seahawks are a bad team. They beat the Patriots. They forced 5 turnovers. Ugly game. Vintage bend, don't break style performance from the defense. They win it. They won in a venue they had won just one time under Mike Tomlin. And then last week in Dublin, their most complete game, they beat a team that put up 48 points the week prior in an NFL game. I don't like the, oh, they played Carson Wentz, man. Like, don't get too excited. The Vikings put up 48 points in an NFL game. This is not the Whippeal. It is not easy to put up almost 50 points against anybody in the NFL. They did that to another team 1 week prior. The Steelers late in the second half held a 24-6 lead. They were dominating. They ran the football well. Aaron Rodgers, more of a game manager type effort, but he was very efficient. What, 18 of 22, around 200 yards, had the touchdown to DK Metcalf. Metcalf had the 80-yard catch and run. That pairing is starting to really heat up. 3 straight games with a touchdown. The defense was flying around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
They had 6 sacks on Carson Wentz, a couple of turnovers forced, 11 sacks in their last 2 games. Something insane, like 50 pressures in the last 2 games. That forces turnovers. Sometimes turnovers are lucky. They're unforced. It's just a blatant mistake by the offense. But not all the time. The Steelers were able to make things happen. The defense was all over the place. Watt, Herbig, Hayward, Benton, Peyton Wilson, Patrick Queen, almost everybody on that defense last week made some sort of impactful play. Deshaun Elliott, his first game back, that guy filled up the box score. His stat sheet was loaded. He did a little bit of everything. Forced fumble, interception, 6 tackles, a tackle for loss, a couple of quarterback hits. The man was all over the field. So they're not a perfect team by any means. But I do think they're a pretty good team. I don't think they're getting enough credit for what they have done so far. Now, maybe you disagree, and you can chime in, 412-928-9370. You know the number. Get in queue. Our guy Austin will get you ready to go. But before we get to those calls and get to a break, Austin, I do want to go through some Steelers quarter season awards. So before people do chime in at 412-928-9370, Steelers MVP, Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, biggest surprise, biggest disappointment. I did this exercise with the guys yesterday. I got a chance to host that show, co-host with Chris. Pony had to sit behind the board because he lost a show bet. So if you listen then, you will hear some of the same answers, but I do want to hear what Austin has to say on these as well. So, Austin, I will let you lead off with your Steelers MVP.
That really was a truly incredible day too, Donnie, huh? With Pony back here behind the glass, was squirming a little bit at the start of the show, trying to figure out how to run everything. He's told me that he has a newfound respect for the producers. How about that? Love it. Pony.
I was hoping that was part of the, the whole part of the exercise, that he would grow a better appreciation.
Yes, and I think he did. While Pony might be described as the MVP of the PM team, Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of the Steelers so far. Look, he's stabilized this offense, Donnie. They look the most composed, the most collected, the most organized that any Steeler offense has looked post-Big Ben, even maybe final year of Big Ben included. I just got to tip my cap to Rodgers. He has been more than I expected him to be, And I had high expectations coming in. Like, I wanted Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback here. I thought that he was a good fit, and it's worked out well.
Yeah, I have to go with Rodgers, too. I mean, he plays the game's most important position. That always carries a little bit more weight. Last year at this time, I went back and looked at what my picks were for this, and my MVP was Chris Boswell. And I think I kept him as my MVP the entire season, and it was well-deserved because Boswell was fantastic, and he saved them out of a lot of jams and won them multiple games by himself. Now, he had 2 6 field goal performances. I'm very happy that I didn't have to do that this year. I'm happy that I could go with the team's quarterback. And Rodgers hasn't been amazing, but he's absolutely been the biggest reason to me why this team is 3-1. I know that these Steelers, with their quarterback position, they're one of the few teams that I don't think would be completely lost if Rodgers had to miss a handful of games. However, Rodgers does bring a certain level of football IQ to the offense that we have not seen in a while. So Rodgers is my MVP. For Offensive Player of the Year, I think it's DK Metcalf, which is a very good thing how we are starting this exercise here. And I'll let you go in a moment, Austin. But Metcalf is, you know, for the receiving core, he was the big money move in the offseason. They traded for him the night before free agency opened or the tampering period opened. And even though he was slow out of the gate, he has gotten a better chemistry with Aaron Rodgers over the last couple of games. 15 for 261 and 3 touchdowns this year. He's a little bit behind in terms of receptions and yards from where he is normally at, but he only had 5 touchdowns last season. So he is well ahead of his pace there. And I still think that Metcalf has an opportunity to be like a 80 to 85 reception, 1,000 plus yard, 10 plus touchdown player in this offense. So he is my OPOY through the first 4 games.
I would hope that he'd be over 1,000 yards, especially with a 17-game schedule and really the only mainly established wide receiver. Calvin Austin is on his way there, but injured. 17.5 yards per reception. And I know that that number is a little bit inflated because of the 80-yard touchdown run, but I'm with you, Donnie. I think Metcalf has added a little bit more of an added element. Plus, there really hasn't been any other than Rodgers, big-time offensive players. Like, Gainwell had one good game, and Warren had one good game. Metcalf hasn't had that huge, explosive game. I guess you can call the one in Ireland that. But no game that you say, okay, DK Metcalf really took over. I still think, though, that he's done enough to push him over the top to be the offensive player of the year.
DPOY, Austin.
I'm going with Nick Herbig, Donnie. I know you could go with Cam Hayward. You could go with TJ Watt. I'm going a little bit more off the beaten path because I expect those guys to be very good and contribute at a very high level. Nick Herbig has been great. 2.5 sacks, has forced a fumble, has an interception, only playing 3 games. I mean, we got to remember he missed, I think it was the opener at the start of the year. He's filled in very well for Alex Highsmith, and I'm one of a growing number of people who believe that the Steelers might benefit from, maybe not at the moment, but at some point, trading Alex Highsmith and having Nick Herbig be your starter to be able to acquire a second wide receiver or create more cap relief to spend it on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think they are in a very good situation because they have 3 really good edge rushers. I mean, TJ Watt is still elite. I know that yesterday, Pony had me cause a stir because I said that I thought Nick Herbig was outplaying TJ Watt. But you bring up the point, Austin, that, you know, given the money into that player, given the expectation into that player versus what the money and expectation is with Nick Herbig, I think it's fair because I also have Herbig as my defensive player of the year through the first 4 games. Listen, TJ Watt is still great. I just said that. I understand, too. He goes through the chips and the double teams. I get it. I get it. But Nick Herbig, when you look at his impact versus the snap count that he has against, you know, TJ Watt over the course of the season, he has been just as impactful. Yeah, does he have a little bit more freedom than Watt does? Absolutely. But I do think he is going to start getting some more attention when teams go into pass down situations because he is an elite player off the edge. The Steelers really have, when it is a, you know, an obvious passing down, they have two guys that can pin their ears back and get to the quarterback with ease. I mean, we saw Nick Herbig go up against Christian Darrisaw last week, who is not some bum left tackle. He is one of the better left tackles in the game of football, dare I say, in the top, I don't know, 5 to 8 at that position in the league. And there were reps where he was running around him with ease. 2.5 sacks this year. He has more quarterback hits than anybody on the team with 8. He has 4 tackles for loss. That is just one behind Watt and also one behind Patrick Queen, who had 3 in the last game. He has a forced fumble. He has a batted down pass. He has an interception. Listen, I'm not saying that TJ Watt has been bad. I'm saying quite the opposite. Nick Herbig has been that good. That's what I love about his game. I mean, I think they are running into a really good problem at edge rusher. And yeah, I mean, the discussion we could have offseason wise about Alex Highsmith when it comes to, hey, is this guy now expendable? I know they paid him a couple of off seasons ago, but Nick Herbig's going to be that next guy coming up for a payday. Staying on the defense for my rookie of the year, I know this guy has only played in a couple of games, but it seems to be no coincidence that Derek Harmon inserts himself into the lineup and the defense gets a little bit of a jolt, because that is what happened. I thought he was really good in his debut against New England. You could tell his presence immediately. He got in on a couple of sacks. He made a nice play where he had a tackle a few yards down the field in pursuit. A little bit more quiet in the Dublin game, but also I think so many guys on the defense in that game were just so good. And nobody else yet in the rookie class has shined all that bright. Y.A. Black has played. Jack Sawyer has played. Caleb Johnson has, you know, what will go down as the biggest gaffe of the season. Hopefully he can rebound from that. But I just think Harmon, by those two factors, even though he's only played in half the games, he has to be my pick there, Austin.
Yeah, I'm surprised that we're agreeing on all of these. Who else is a candidate here, though, Donnie? Like,
that's the thing. I don't think that Y.A. Black or Jack Sawyer have been bad, but it's just Harmon made an immediate impact once he stepped onto the field.
No love for Caleb Johnson? Caleb Johnson can't be our rookie of the year, but he had a couple of carries in Ireland to spell Gainwell.
He did have a 9-yard gain. I mean, so he's not in the doghouse as much as Roman Wilson, and maybe that's a guy we'll bring up later. But maybe Caleb Johnson can get rolling in the second half of the season.
Yeah, Derek Harmon has been – there's a noticeable difference for them on the defensive line. And I feel like, you know, Keanu Benton had a breakout game. Sure, it was against Minnesota's backups, and you have to take note of that. But I do think because some of the attention is going to Harmon that Benton was able to thrive. It's like one of those things where – if there's two defenders on DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin has more opportunities, or the tight ends will have more opportunities. I feel like that's the case with Cam Hayward and Derek Harmon, where Keanu Benton was able to thrive more. So I feel like Derek Harmon, even just playing a couple of games, is starting to earn that respect. Plus, he's been productive. Already has a sack and has been good against the run. We'll see if that continues when we get an AFC North ball.
And they did take advantage of the injuries on that Vikings offensive line, but what is sometimes an issue that the Steelers have, we saw it with the first two games this season, they went up against makeshift offensive lines and they got pushed around. So that's not always the easiest thing, but it was nice that they finally took advantage of something like that. Biggest surprise for you, Austin?
Yeah, I actually went with two here. And I went with Kenneth Gainwell and Brandon Echols as my two surprises for positive reasons. Look, when Gainwell came here, I actually expected him to get a decent amount more carries than a lot of people thought, just because of how well he ran with Philadelphia and Andy Weidel being over there and, you know, members of Philadelphia coming over here in the front office to be a part of the Steelers. Clearly, they liked Gainwell, and they were going to give him an opportunity. Maybe a little bit more than a lot of people anticipated. He's been solid, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns in the last game. He's a good threat out of the backfield. And Brandon Echols made some really good plays in that New England game. I'm impressed by him just as an extra corner. Not somebody that I would want out there every snap, but two players that are glue guys, extra guys that you need in terms of depth.
I like the Eccles pick. I also went with Kenneth Gainwell, so yet again we are on the same page, Austin, but I do like the shout to Brandon Eccles because he has stepped up in the absence of Joey Porter Jr. And even with guys leaving games midway through, you know, not making it the whole way. And Eccles has not been a shortcoming on that defense at all. I think with me, the reason Gainwell was a surprise, first off, he had the best game of any running back this year against the Vikings. That did carry some weight with me, maybe some recency bias. I also was buying into and drinking the Kool-Aid that a lot of people that saw Caleb Johnson throughout the offseason and in training camp kind of expected that he would leapfrog Kenneth Gainwell relatively quickly on the depth chart and get a lot of carries to split with Jaylen Warren. And that was not the case. And Kenneth Gainwell certainly made his start count, because now I think, if anything, we will see more of Kenneth Gainwell even when Jaylen Warren comes back. I think they're working to a 50-50 split. And then to finish up here, my disappointment, and you know I'm a fan of this guy. I know you're a fan of this guy. Pat Freiermuth for me is the big disappointment through the first four games. Only 7 grabs for 65 yards, no touchdowns. I know that Jonnu Smith hasn't done a whole lot. I know Darnell Washington only has a couple of catches as well, but I think we expected that, hey, Pat Freiermuth is going to get the best quarterback play he has gotten since that final year of Big Ben. That was Pat's rookie season. He had 7 touchdowns that year. He actually had 7 touchdowns last year as well, but he has been phased out a little bit in this offense. He did have that drop on the deep ball from Rodgers against Seattle, and I don't know if that's something that hurt him, but he did not see a target in the game against Minnesota. He only saw 15 snaps in the game, too. So I think Pat has to be my disappointment.
I went with Broderick Jones just because, especially over the course of the first couple of games, it was so, so bad. He was statistically one of the worst offensive tackles in all of football. His PFF grade was bad. 3 sacks on Aaron Rodgers in game 1. It got better. It's gone better than you could have thought, but the expectations was pretty much on the floor for him. I'm still very concerned, despite a good game against Minnesota, about Broderick. And as a first-round pick that's supposed to be more comfortable on that side, I'm still holding my breath when he goes out there every week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day 1 for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
50-minute mark on the Fan. That is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Donnie Football with you on a Football Friday. I am live from Bowser Chevy in Monroeville. The beautiful Studio B. Our guy Austin Bechtold is back behind the glass in Green Tree. Ray Fittipaldo joins us in a little bit. Stephen Thompson, who covers the Pitt Panthers for the PG, he will join us around 11:30. Our guy Nick Costos from BetMGM, he joins us just after 12 o'clock. A couple of calls to get to, and you can get in queue as well. 412-928-9370. Pretty open-ended on the Steelers from that first segment. Are you buying into what this team has done through the first four games of the season? Are you also buying in because of how the rest of the AFC North looks? Do you think this team can go bell to bell and win the AFC North when it's all said and done? 412-928-9370. Maybe you have thoughts on the quarter season awards, MVP, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, rookie, surprise, disappointment, anything on the table for you for the next few minutes here. 412-928-9370. We go to Shane in South Park. What's up, Shane?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call. Wanted to talk a little bit about Gainwell, and I think he's probably a candidate for Offensive Player of the Year through the first quarter. He's just been an absolute beast. He's rushing. His rushing average is about, 4.5 yards per carry right now. He's got pretty good receptions, and I think his receptions are – his longest one is about 10 yards. But I think he's done a lot for the Steelers from an acquisition that went – maybe, in my opinion, maybe just a little underrated. And then wanted to get your thoughts on the rest of the schedule and teams that you think they're going to struggle with the most.
Yeah, Shane, I appreciate the call. I mean, I do think Gainwell deserves some consideration there. Now, I think a lot of the heavy lifting would be coming from just that one game, whereas it is nice that we saw DK Metcalf, his success a little bit more spread out. I know that his numbers weren't necessarily great, but he does have three touchdowns already. Now, taking a look at the rest of the Steelers' schedule, they do have a more daunting one than what the Ravens have, for instance. Now, they come out of the gate after this bye week, and I think that they are staring 5-1 in the face, but we can't always assume that. Cleveland, if they do anything well, it is stopping the run and playing defense well. They get after the quarterback, so that could create some challenges. They do have Myles Garrett, who, whether you love the guy or hate the guy, he is one of the best pass rushers in football, one of the best edge rushers in football. And then Cincinnati on that Thursday night, like it always is, I just think those games will be close. Then they run into a three-game stretch that did not look as scary when the schedule first came out because of the team in the middle. But this team might be the real deal. They play Green Bay, that ultimate Aaron Rodgers revenge game on October 26th. Then that first Sunday in November, they play Indianapolis. The Colts are a lot better than I thought they would be. That's for sure. Daniel Jones has looked a lot better than I thought he would. Shane Steichen has, in multiple occurrences, outcoached Mike Tomlin in those games. Then they go to L.A. after that to play the Chargers. That is a really tough three-game stretch. Luckily, they get two of those at home, and then the game out in L.A., we know that the Steelers fans will probably outnumber what the Chargers fans put in those seats, but they still do have to travel out west for a big primetime game. That could be a real pivot point of this season. If they take two of three from that stretch, or if they took all three from that stretch, I think we should be feeling really good. But if they go something like 1-2 or 0-3, then we may – have to have some concerns because it does get difficult. They go to Chicago where they haven't won in 30 years. They play the Bills. They do go to the Ravens on December 7th, and you assume Lamar Jackson's back healthy. They are at Detroit in late December. They are at Cleveland in late December. They never have an easy time there. And then they host Baltimore that Week 18 game. And who knows? That could end up being a game for the AFC North crown. And that would be awesome. I mean, the last time I think that took place, a Steelers matchup in the final week of the season for the division championship, you have to go back to 2014 when that happened. 412-928-9370. By the way, listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. AJ is in Natrona Heights. What's going on, AJ?
Good morning, guys. How are you this fine day?
Good. What do you got for us?
Well, I have a bright outlook. If they can continue, I think, to run that additional lineman on offense and maybe help Broderick with Darnell on the other side, I think if that game plan continues to be one they go forth with, they have a chance to be 5-1 and then get into the more turgid part of their schedule. I did have one question. Roman Wilson hasn't really gotten talked about a lot, and for good reason. He isn't playing, but he looked good in that Jacksonville game. He made a couple good catches. I'm wondering if you guys have an opinion on why perhaps he just continues to not surface in this offense.
Yeah, AJ, I appreciate the call, and that's something I will ask Ray Fittipaldo about when he joins us in a little bit, because I think that Roman Wilson is often a lightning rod topic, and he did have some good performances in those preseason games. He had that big catch against Tampa Bay. He had a couple of nice grabs, like you said there, AJ, against Jacksonville in that first preseason game. But there is just something about when he gets on the field, the words that we hear, the reports that we hear are like, this guy doesn't know what to do when he gets out there, which seems like the complete opposite of what we heard coming out of college. Like, oh, he's a smaller dude in stature, but he makes up for it with, you know, the heart and the intensity and also the wherewithal, like the high level football IQ. It doesn't appear that he has that, because the dude can't even get on the field. Calvin Austin went down in Dublin, and instead of going to Roman Wilson and giving that guy an opportunity, they went with Scotty Miller and Ben Skoranek more. That's not a good look. Wilson, I think, had the least amount of snaps of anybody that played on offense. He had 3. There might have been somebody with fewer, but Wilson, I know, had 3 snaps in that game, and that is not good. Now, part of that, and that goes back to the first part of AJ's call, they did play a lot of jumbo personnel. They got the big bodies out there. Darnell Washington played almost 50 snaps in the game. Spencer Anderson, as the extra offensive lineman, he played almost 20 snaps in the game. I wouldn't mind if they go back to that, say, for a game like the one in Cincinnati. Now, you go a game-by-game basis just based on what the opposing defenses do well and don't do well, but they certainly made it a point to run the football right at Minnesota. They didn't have Jaylen Warren, and they said, you know what, who cares? We're going to keep this same game plan. We are going to go into this game, and we are going to enforce our will on the opponent, and they ran the football really well. 412-928-9370. Let's get Paul in West Virginia in here. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Good morning and happy Friday. How are we?
Good, good. What do you got for us, Paul?
Well, I got a couple topics. Number one, I am a believer of this team. I believe that they can win the North. I believe that they can easily make the playoffs this year if and only if two things come out of it. Number one, the defensive line has to be a consistent in every single game and use the young guys, as in Mr. Derek Harmon and Mr. Yaya Black, along with Mr. Cam Hayward. And then secondly, I like to see the run game pick up more. We got a stud for a rookie, and yes, he did have a very cautious fumble that cost us the game at home. However, this line prove to themselves out in Dublin that they can do it. And I believe that with Gainwell and Johnson, this team is, can lead us to the playoffs. So, yes, I do see them winning, and I am a believer.
Paul, thanks for the call. I mean, I love the optimism coming on a Friday. I do think they are a playoff team. I thought that going into the season that they would be one win better than they were in 2024. And if you win 11 games, that almost guarantees you a playoff spot in the seven-team field. I think in the history of the seven-team playoff format since they went to that, what, back in 2020 or 2021, around 5 years ago when they made the change from six to seven teams, I think there's only one team over the course of that time in both the AFC and NFC that missed the playoffs after winning 10 games, and that was the Seattle Seahawks of last season. So you win 10+, you put yourself in a really good position to make it, and I do think these Steelers, they have taken advantage of what I would say is the easier portion of their schedule, as they should. We saw them do that last season. We said, hey, they got to jump out and get ahead of things. You know, you have to have a nice start here before you run into the gauntlet down the second half of the season. Now, I'll say this. It isn't a fun second half of the season. There are some really difficult games. I do not think it is as bad and as daunting as what it was in 2024. That was brutal. They also don't have to do the three games in 11 days, which did not help matters either.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.